Psalm 16. I want to preach on this subject this morning. Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your joy? Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Heavenly Father, Lord, what an important psalm. My goodness sakes, I want to stop about 5, 6, 7 different places and just preach. Thank you for the admonition, the blessing of just the reading of your word. And I pray, dear God, that every young person would just completely quiet their hearts, quiet their minds, and focus completely 100% for the next few minutes on the word of God and what the preacher has to say. And I pray, Lord, for a stillness and a teachable spirit in our auditorium this morning. Thank you for the good song service. Thank you for the good special. Now, Lord, please, we ask for help, dear God. And we ask, Lord, that you'd help us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I've been captivated with the idea, the thought of the joy of the Lord. And so as God begins to impress upon me a subject, what I tend to do is spend the week going into the scriptures and researching that and searching the scriptures and studying and comparing and cross-referencing and just getting my heart full of all that the Bible has to say. And in the process of doing that, what I find out is usually a sermon emerges. I mentioned the other day, I don't look for sermons when I go to the Bible. I study the Bible and sermons look for me. And so I like to just get on to a subject and just start reading and studying and soaking it up until God kind of begins to speak to my heart, and from that a message comes. And here's one of the questions I had, and I always like to kind of find a way to pique my interest in the study of the Bible. So before I ever started looking at this word joy as we find it through the scriptures, I thought, who did God use to write the most about joy? And that was the question I had. Who did God use in the Bible to write the most about joy? And almost immediately, the answer that I came up with, without even doing any of the study, was, I'm sure it's the Apostle Paul. And you know what, as I studied what God used Paul to write, man, he used the word joy a lot. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Philippians, of course, that great book of Philippians that's a rejoicing book, a joy book. Philippians 2:17, yea, and if I be offered, I love this verse, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And I thought to myself, before I even started, it has to be the Apostle Paul that God used to pen the word joy more than any other person that he used to pen the Bible. But it was not Paul. Instead, it was a shepherd turned psalmist turned king by the name of David. And Let me just say this, folks. Watch this. You say, well, I'll tell you what, if I was the king of Israel and I had the benefits of that position, I could be joyful also. Let me remind you a little bit about the life of David. Listen to me. David became the target early on in his life, the target of hatred and envy and jealousy from a man by the name of King Saul. Three different times Saul tried to murder David. David then spent 7 years, listen folks, 7 years running for his life, the target of a national manhunt with a reward on his head, dead or alive. David won the right to marry the king's daughter, but found himself in an unhappy marriage. Check it out. David had twice had to flee his own country to save his own life. You say, yeah, but when he became king, then life became good. As he became king of Israel, he had to deal with an oft-times unfaithful and murderous military leader by the name of Joab. He is told by God, David is told by God, that he's too bloody of a man to build God a temple in Israel. Think about that. By the way, David suffered and had to go through some horrible situations within his own personal family. His daughter was raped. His son was murdered. Another son rises up in rebellion against his father and tries to kill David, tries to kill his own father. And then soon after that, this son turned traitor Absalom, with his long rebellious hairs found swinging in a tree, and he also dies, is killed in battle. Watch this, folks. David goes to Babyland and puts in the ground a newborn baby that dies. He faces a 3-year famine. Come on now. During his reign as king of Israel, he faces a 3-year famine in his land under his leadership. He contracts a loathsome, that's his word, loathsome disease in his old age. I wanted to recount all those things because listen to what I'm going to say next. And yet, throughout his life, he was undergirded by the joy of the Lord. I love reading about David. He's a delight. I love reading his heart songs. As a shepherd boy, he perfected his harp strokes while his quill then crafted wonderful prose and praise. When you read the Psalms, one of the things you quickly understand about David is that he possessed the joy of the Lord. So this morning, in that context, understanding some of the heartache of his life, let's learn from this great king and find out how maybe we can possess the joy of the Lord despite the circumstances of life. Say, preacher, what is this matter of joy? What are you talking about? Well, let's get into the study and let's let the study interpret this for us. Number one, David found joy in the presence of the Lord. In Psalm 16, verse 11, this opening psalm, I love this closing verse. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Did you hear that? In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. And so the first thing that we learn about the joy of the Lord and why David was undergirded by the joy of the Lord throughout his life was that he understood the wisdom of spending time every day in the presence of the Lord. Say, preacher, I've lost my joy. How do I increase joy in my life? You increase joy by spending more time in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. I still like listening to the radio and listening to Lester Roloff. And every time he comes on, I just turn the radio up. I turn the radio up when Lester Roloff comes on. My mom turns the radio up when Keith Gomez comes on. Everybody turns the radio down when Jerry Ross is on, apparently. But you say, Brother Roloff faced some hard things. Watch this. How many preachers have had to go to jail? How many preachers have been threatened with jail time and prosecuted for their faith? But you know what? You hear when you listen to Brother Roloff, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He will hear my voice. He will hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon. Say, preacher, how do you maintain joy through difficult times? Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Preacher, I've lost my joy. Let me tell you where you can find it. You can find it in the presence of the Lord. the more time that you spend in the Bible, the more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend in devotion, oh, this needs to be repeated. Say, preacher, this is elementary stuff. I know, and we're in Christianity, we're failing elementary school. Come on now. We wonder why so many of our problems are in life and so many of us have a I give up attitude. And the honest truth is we rush out the door. We don't touch the Bible. We don't pray. And yet David found out a secret. He said this, in thy presence is fullness of joy. When we started, me and Cheryl went up, God directed us to start the Central Baptist Church there in Brazil, and what a wonderful time we had up there. And there was a wonderful lady that came for a short time. She moved to Brazil, Indiana, was there for a while, then moved away. Her name was Dolores, and she was a black lady. And she came to our little storefront church there. And you know what? I will tell you this. I believe that God sends to every congregation somebody just to put a smile on the preacher's face, just to be an encouragement. And she would come in and she'd be happy. She'd get happy during the song service. I like that, by the way. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And she'd get happy during the preaching. If I was telling a story that was intense, I'd look out and her eyes would be about this big around, and she was into everything. I mean, I didn't care if anybody else was there. I just looked at Dolores and preached to Dolores because she was getting it if nobody else was. If I told something funny, she laughed. Some of y'all ought to try that one of these days, you know. Say, preacher, I'm happy. Well, you need to let your face know that, all right? But she'd laugh at it. One time I was preaching on the crucifixion and I was going through all of the things that Jesus went through on the cross, and she kept going on and I talked about, and they lifted up that cross and they pushed it in the hole, and when they did, the full weight of his body went onto those spikes and those nails in his hand, and it jerked his body. When I said jerked his body, she went, oh, just like that, right in the middle of the crucifixion story. I almost busted out laughing, you know. But she was into it. She's such a happy person. I'd see her out there, and during the song service, she'd get happy. And she'd get to singing the songs, and tears would run down her eyes. And sometimes she'd go to voting during the songs and all of that. And I thought, you know what? And here's what a lot of people would think. You know what? The preacher, there's a reason for that. She must have a great life. She must not have any problems. I mean, you know what? You needed to go to her house and check out her situation, because probably if I had it as good as she did, then I could come to church happy. You stay with me. We've been to her house. She invited us over, me and Cheryl, and I think one of the guest speakers that we had in just came to me and said, please, please, we're having this guest preacher. Would you please let me fix one meal. Just let me fix a meal for the guest preacher. And you guys come, and we did. And you know what? We've never, I think, ever had a meal in a more humble house, in a more humble situation. I mean, obvious by walking into the house that she didn't have very much, but watch this, young people. She didn't have very much, but what she did have was clean. Are y'all listening to me? Well, we're poor. You can be poor and clean. Amen. And I mean, you could tell she'd scrubbed that house, and she had had everything, the simple decorations, the few she had around there and all of this stuff. And boy, she was just so honored to have us. And I'm looking around, and the evangelist began to ask about her life, and she went through a horrible marriage situation and ended up having to, just for the safety of her life, get out of that situation. And you know what? She shared a little bit as the preacher was talking to her about some of the heartaches of life, but pretty soon she says, enough about me. We're not here to talk to my problems. And she smiled and laughed and talked. And I'm looking around that house. Stay with me. I'm looking around the house and I'm like, there's no reason that I'm seeing why this woman should have this much joy. Watch this. And then I looked over at the little chair, simple, humble chair. And I looked over by that chair, and there is a little coffee table, small coffee table. And on that coffee table, listen to me, is a well-worn Bible. A well-worn Bible. What was it that David said? He said this, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Preacher, I've lost my joy. I'm telling you where you can go find it. You go find it in the presence of the Lord. Number two, David found joy in sacrificing to the Lord. Go, if you will, over to Psalms 27. We're going to chase some of these joy verses through the book of Psalms. Psalms 27. And let's look at verse number 6. David found joy in the presence of the Lord, but David also found joy in sacrificing sacrificing to the Lord. Psalms 27 verse 6, shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of what? Sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now, David understood something. If you want to find joy, if you kind of lost your joy, David went through some tough times. David sometimes had to restore and rediscover the joy of the Lord. But you know what? He knew where he could get it. He went into the presence of the Lord and he found joy. He went into God's house and sacrificed and he found joy. And we sing in our Sunday school. And we sing in our opening assembly, and we do it more weeks than not. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. You say, preacher, you're just stuck on a handful of songs. That's because I'm trying to get a handful of truths into the hearts of these young people. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. You know what, folks, watch this. Let me just help you. David found joy in sacrificing to the Lord. What is he talking about when he's talking about sacrificing? That means that David went to his house and found something of value, and when he came into the tabernacle, he sacrificed it to the Lord. He gave it to the Lord. Watch this, folks. You know what we're doing in America? We are going out into the world and collecting everything we can of value and bringing it into our house and then standing at the front door like this and saying, it's mine, 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 nobody gets it. And that's why the average American has no joy, no joy. You know what? Joy is never produced through selfishness. Joy is always produced through sacrifice. Let me say that again. Joy is never produced through selfishness. It's always produced through sacrifice. You know what? What has God given you? What has God given you that is of value? You know, if you're going to offer something to the Lord, it ought to be of value. Okay? Don't give God your junk. What we do is we spend our entire Christian life giving God leftovers. Enough of that. He says, I want the first fruits, not the leftovers. We give him our leftover time. Come on, here's a wonderful thing. I don't know if there's anything in the world more valuable than time. Some of you already jumped to materialism because that's how Americans think. But I'm talking about offering to God something valuable. When I give God time, I give him life. When you give somebody else of your time, you give them of your life. And you know what, folks? Watch this. There's joy in this. There's joy in this. Miserable people say, why don't people do more for me? Happy people, joyful people are looking around saying, what can I do for others? And so I'm talking about, have you lost your joy? You know what? He learned to sacrifice his time. One of the, probably my, of all of Brother Howe's illustrations, his favorite illustration, I love to hear him give, and I've probably heard it 50 times if I've heard it once. It was the story that he tells about a lady who come to his office on the brink of a nervous breakdown. And if those of you that have heard Brother House for any time, you know the story I'm going to say because he gave it a lot. He said, a woman that came and she needed an appointment with me. And she came in and she's shaking. I literally shaking. She sits down in my office. She said, Brother House, I need help. I just need help. I need counsel. I'm about the verge of a breakdown. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And so he said, okay, I'm going to help you with that. And he said, get a piece of paper and a pen. And he gave it to her. And he said, now, I'm going to give you something to do in the next day, every day for the next 7 days. I'm going to give you something. Okay. She got her piece of paper. And he said, all right, tomorrow I want you to bake cookies. And I want you to take them to the elementary kids of our Christian school. And I want you at lunchtime to give them all a cookie. And she said, all right, bake cookies. And then the next day I want you to go to the nursing home. And I want you to go over there. And I want you to find somebody who has, you ask the nurses, they'll know. Who never gets a visit from their family? Who's lonely? And you sit there for an hour and you minister to that person. And she started writing it down. And then the third thing, and she finally said, wait a minute. I can't do this stuff. Well, why not? Because I'm having a nervous breakdown. He says, if you'll do those things, then you won't have your nervous. No, I'm going to have it. You just do what I say. For a week, just do what I say. Now, you go to the missions. Now, listen, we've got a rescue mission here. I want you to go over there. And they've got a dorm for the ladies. And I want you to sit down with one of those ladies and have a Bible study and gave her all these assignments. And she got up finally at the end of that. She had 7 things to do. You could tell she wasn't happy. This is why she came. And he said, just trust me. And so you know what she did? Monday, she baked cookies. And Tuesday she went to the nursing home. And Wednesday she went to the rescue mission. And you know what? Every day that week she lost her life in doing something for somebody else. There's joy in sacrifice. He said, I saw her a week later and I said, hey, how's that nervous breakdown going? And she said, I don't know. I don't have time for that anymore. I love that illustration. I love that illustration. Folks, listen to me. A sermon like this is what you need. And what Brother Howells told her is what she needed to hear, but it's usually not what people want to hear. And the honest truth is, preacher, I've lost my joy. It's probably because you quit sacrificing. It's probably because you're becoming selfish. Come on now. Sacrifice your time. Come on, God knows the answer to this. Why don't you think about it? How much of your time this week was spent sacrificing and doing for others or for God? Come on, be honest. I can tell you that your joy is in relationship to the amount of time you spent in investing in other people. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your treasure. There's no greater source of joy than taking what God has given you and doing something to help someone in need. Come into the house of the Lord. One of the most joyful moments in the house of the Lord ought to be for the average Christian when the offering plate goes around. Come on now. You know, the honest truth is the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Preacher, I give, but I don't get joy out of it. That's because you're coming with the wrong attitude. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. It's an honor. It's a privilege to bring our tithes. It's a privilege to bring our offerings. It's a privilege to put a little bit of money in a missions envelope and say, I'm going to help keep those missionaries on the field. There's joy in sacrifice, sacrificing your time, sacrificing your treasure. I tell you every once in a while about the farmer that came to the preacher and said this, preacher, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to the Lord's work. And the preacher said, could you give 2 pigs? And the farmer said, preacher, that's not fair. You know I've got 2 pigs. And the honest truth is, you know, we're all, if you're not careful, you hear the average Christian talk about what they would do with the Lord for the Lord if they only had so much. You know what? What are you doing for the Lord with what you have right now? Because let me tell you something. Watch this. I'm going to look at my little crystal ball here and look into your future, all right? I'm looking right now. You know what? If you won't sacrifice in your poverty, you wouldn't sacrifice in your riches. If you won't give sacrificially in the state you are, if God increase, listen, your selfishness isn't going to change. And you should listen, folks. You know who undergirds. Sometimes visitors walk around here and they say, "What in the world? You know who pays for all this? And you got all these buses on the road. I mean, how much in fuel do you have every week in putting fuel in all of those buses? And I see this improvement, I see that improvement. You guys keep the place, and you're doing this, and you've got all of these ministries, and this one, I know it costs, and it costs, and it costs. Who's underwriting all of this?" Now listen to me, folks. You're not going to find a millionaire in here. All right? I had one preacher tell me, I used to pray for a millionaire to come to my church. He said, so God sent me 2. And he said, you know what? Those 2 guys were the most stingy people in my entire church when it came to giving. Hey, you know what? God's work has never been supported. I'm talking about the vast majority of has never been supported by millionaires. You know what it's been supported by? Good, hardworking people. I'm talking about blue-collar workers. I'm talking about shake a hand, you shake a calloused hand. That work out in this community, and you know what? They bring their families to the house of the Lord, and they sit down, and they sacrificially write a tithe check, and they sacrificially, listen, it's always, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church at least, it's always been done through the sacrificial giving of God's people. Now look right here, folks, watch this. There's no millionaires underwriting anything here. It's just all of us coming every Sunday in obedience to God with our tithes and offerings and saying, Lord, we don't have a whole lot, but we are thankful for what you have given us. And by the way, we're going to be generous in giving back to you. And people who do that throughout their life have a joy to them. They have a joy. There's a joy. Listen, you know how you find your joy? You find it in the presence of the Lord. You know how you find your joy? You find it in sacrificing to the Lord, in giving of your time, your treasure, your talents, investing in other people, other people. Preacher, I'm just not happy. I'm just not a happy person. Now watch this. It's good that all you young guys listen to this because I'm going to teach you something. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness finds its base in the word happenings. Okay, I want to be happy.
So something needs to happen to make me happy. So I'm going to sit here and wait for someone to cause something, make something happen that's going to make me happy. I'm bored. I'm miserable. I'm sad. I'm not happy. Mom, I'm not happy. Dad, I'm not happy. Preacher, I'm not happy. I wish somebody would do something, make something happen to make me happy. Now, watch this. Here's God's formula. Joy is different. Joy does not find its basis in the word happenings. Joy finds its basis in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, here's what joy is. Listen, watch this, folks. You can only be happy when somebody decides to make you happy. But you can have joy. And I'm going to teach you young men something. You know, some of you are miserable. You're not real happy kids. You don't have much joy in your life. You know why? Because you're sitting around waiting for somebody to make you happy. Let me tell you what joy does. Joy sacrifices. Joy gives of their time, gives of their treasure, gives of their talents. And listen, if I am waiting for somebody else to make me happy, I am at the mercy of other people. And my happiness is dependent on whether or not somebody else does something for Jerry Ross. But you know what? I can have joy anytime I want to have joy. Because see, joy is not dependent on you. Joy is dependent on me. And I can decide to do what Brother House told that woman to do. Well, listen, I'm bored and I'm not very happy and it seems like I've lost my joy. Well, then go bake some cookies. Hey, go find a widow. Spend some time with her. Hey, go take a fatherless kid off of one of these bus routes and take him to McDonald's and watch. Listen, something we take for granted, they don't get to do very often. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, if you've lost your joy, you can find it. Well, sure you can. Sacrifice your talents. Nothing steals more joy than the sin of selfishness. What's in your hand? What has God put in your hand? What talent do you have? What can God use you to do? What can God use you to do? There was a gentleman that we brought in several times here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that was a blessing to this ministry. And he wasn't a preacher. And he wasn't an evangelist. And he wasn't a missionary. But you know what? God used him to help us see hundreds of teenagers and children come to the Lord. Who was it? Oh, some guy named Cowboy Bill Smith. How many of you remember when Bill Smith used to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? He's had physical problems. He can't do this anymore. But you know what? I got wind of him through a mutual friend that we both had. And I was talking to my friend, and he said, have you ever heard about a guy named Bill Smith? And I said, no. He said, he's just a member of a church. He's just a layman. He just attends the church. He's a bricklayer. And I said, well, why are you telling me about him? He said, he's a cowboy. I said, what do you mean he's a cowboy? We're in Indiana. There are no cowboys in Indiana. He said, he's a cowboy. And I said, well, tell me about him. And he said, preacher, he goes out to Oklahoma, and he competes in those roping contests. He's got trophies and stuff, and I mean, he's good at that. He got excited about that, got involved in that when he was a young man and a teenager, and then he kept working his skills and doing those things, and he said, you wouldn't believe the roping show that he can put on, and then he does the thing with the bullwhip. You know, you seen those guys? You know, he'd come to church here and want me to put a piece of styrofoam in my mouth. And, you know, he'd want to take that bullwhip and, like, cut it off. And I'd say, you know what, I'll pray for you, but I'm not that dumb, you know. I don't have a real long nose, but I kind of like it. I'm attached to it, you know. And I mean, he was amazing. He'd show up, and he'd do his rope, and he'd do his bullwhip. And you remember his little puppet he had, the horse puppet? Anybody remember the name of that puppet? I don't remember what it was. But he'd sit there and talk back and forth with that puppet. And he'd rope a little while, and then he'd talk to the teenagers. He'd rope a little while, and he'd talk to the children. He'd rope a little while, do his bullwhip, and then he'd tell them how he got saved. And you know what, man, we'd do that after church. And you know what, kids would come to church, and teenagers would come to church because they wanted to see a real-life cow. Well, come on now. You say, preacher, God's never called me to preach. I don't know. Can you find a rope? You know, sometimes we got to think. All right, what could you do to be used of God? I found out about this guy. I called him. I said, I don't know who you are. I'm Pastor Jerry Ross. I got a teen revival down here. And by the way, he talked with a stutter.
He talked with a stutter. He'd get on the phone sometimes, and when he'd get excited, he'd go, oh, Brother Jerry, you know, I'm not real good at this. I don't do it much out, but for you, I'll come down and do it. And he'd always stutter until he was roping and bold, and when he'd start presenting the gospel, he'd never stutter. Yes, sir. No, you're right. And you talk to him afterwards, he'd stutter. He's doing his thing. He doesn't stutter. He's not thinking about it. I don't know. Maybe God just reached out and said, he's speaking for me. I'm going to give him clarity. What I'm saying is, watch this. We kind of got it in our heads, well, the only way you serve God is you be a preacher, you're a Sunday school teacher, or wait a minute, there's all kinds of things. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? I was out in Eufaula, Oklahoma, and there was a guy that came to the teen camp that I was at and brought his youth group, and he was a pastor. He's a pastor, but he also has a small ranch out there in Oklahoma. And he's got another guy that is a rancher that has a ranch next to his ranch, and they raise horses. And I was talking to him afterwards, and I mean, he's cowboy. He's Oklahoma, all right? How many of you have been to Oklahoma, okay? I mean, you know what? If you're not walking around with a belt buckle that big around, then you are not from Oklahoma. I mean, and so here he comes, cowboy boots, got his Levi's, got his buckle that big around, got his cowboy shirt. I mean, it's camp, okay? And he comes walking up, and I've known him, and I said, hey, what's going on, man? And good to see your group back. And I was talking, I said, how's the ranch? How's the horses? Race horses. Brother Jerry McDonald said this later on. He didn't tell me this, but he told me, he said, every week that guy and his rancher friend load up all their horses, a number of their horses, and brings them to the camp here and lets the kids all ride free horses. Most of those kids never rode horses in their entire life. Hey, I got talking about it. I said, hey, you know, I heard you're responsible for these horses that are showing up. He said, yeah, it's a little thing we can do for the Lord. He said, you know, we were doing that during the summer, but then we got to thinking, you know, that's one day a week during the camp for about 5 weeks, but we got to do more. So he said, you know what I started doing? He said, every Monday night at my house, he said, I invite the church people and ask them to invite people, kids, anybody, anywhere. And he said, every Monday night from late spring to fall, he said, every Monday night, we grill out, cook out, and we bring all the horses, and we let those underprivileged kids ride those horses. He said, then we get them all down, and we feed them, and then we put them in. He said, I've built this little outside kind of tabernacle thing, and he said, I sit there, and I get to talk to them about Jesus and preach the gospel to them. He said, preacher, God's using those horses, and those kids come. And now you know what they're doing? They're getting saved. What I'm saying is this, folks, what's in your hand? You know where you're going to find joy? You're not going to find joy spending your entire life taking your time and your treasures and your talent and hoarding them somewhere and standing guard over them. Those are the grumpiest, meanest people in the world. But you show me somebody that doesn't have much, but you know what they say to the Lord? Lord, if you'll provide, I'll be used as a conduit. I'll just take whatever you give me and I'll pass it on and I'll use it to your good and your glory. And you'll always find those kind of people have a smile on their face. Have you lost your joy? David found joy in the presence of the Lord. He found joy in sacrificing to the Lord. Now I want to just say this. I put this point in because go over to Psalms 42. I want you to see this verse. But David, I like this. He brought his joy to his public worship. All right, let the preacher help you, okay, a little bit this morning. He brought that joy that he got in the presence of God, that joy that he got by sacrificing to the Lord, he brought it with him to church. In verse number 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Isn't it Psalms 100 that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made it, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but let me just help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Members, look right up here. You know what? If you came this morning and you didn't come with the joy of the Lord, shame on you. Bring your joy to the worship service. Well, I come here to get joy. You don't come to church to get joy. You go in the presence of the Lord to get joy. You don't come to church to get joy. You sacrifice to get joy. And then if you spend a week in the presence of the Lord and sacrificing to the Lord, you walk in with joy.
You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't spend any time walking with the Lord. You live a selfish life. You walk in here and you sit. And you know what you do? You help kill the spirit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You don't contribute to a positive spirit. Are you listening to me? So you know what we need? We need Sunday school teachers. We need you to come with the joy of the Lord. We need you to come with the joy of the Lord. You know what? Let me tell you how to build a Sunday school class. I'm going to tell you. Get happy. Get joyful. Be excited. Okay, you know, your kids are enjoying your class as much as you are. So how are they doing? They're having as much fun as you are. By the way, they want to be there as much as you want to be there. I'm just helping you. I'm just helping if you listen to me. Good night. I ran into Eufaula, Oklahoma. There's a short Mexican guy that comes walking up to me, and I look at him and see him across the auditorium, and he's got this big grin on his face, got a mustache, handlebar mustache now. And he's grinning at me, and I'm grinning at him. I look at him, and I think, you have got to be kidding me. And he comes over and gives me a big bear hug. His name is Poncho. And it really is, brother. Poncho. You know what? I said, what in the world? I mean, good. Now you talk about a blast from the past. What are you doing here? This boy rode on our bus route in Division 7, rode in Division 7 on the bus route, the night route, back when I was division leader there. And he said, Brother Jerry, our church was bringing our entire youth group. And by the way, the youth group that they brought was just about the size of about 2/3 of this size of the auditorium right here. That was their youth group. And he said, I'm not the youth pastor. He said, I'm just a helper. He said, I started out being the lowest helper on the totem pole, but as people quit, what I found out is if you just hang in there, pretty soon I'm the youth pastor's right-hand man. He did a big smile on it, just the happiest guy. And we started talking, and he started telling me stories. And we're swapping bus route stories. Come on now. And he's telling me, you know what I remember you doing? I'm like, no, you can't tell anybody that. You got to, you know, and I thought he was probably showed up to blackmail me, you know, he told me this story and things that he remembered on the bus route. We start talking about crazy things. And I said, you were a bus kid. He said, yeah. And I said, please tell me something, because as much as a Green County, Indiana boy is trying to go up to Chicago and figure out inner city kids, I mean, it's hard. We come from two different worlds. And as much as I wanted to know them and tried to know them, put myself in their situation, I don't know if I ever got there. So I just asked him, I said, can I tell you something? You and your sister Martha, you guys were so faithful. I said, you came all the, I said, what possessed you in that crazy environment with all of that wickedness, all of that sin, all of that temptation? What kept you getting up on Sunday morning, all through junior, elementary, all through, he pulled a picture out of his Bible when he was an elementary kid and showed me a picture of him standing by his bus captain and his bus workers. And here he is now, almost 50. He said, this year I'll be 50 years old, still serving God. I said, what made you guys do that? He didn't even hesitate. He said, I tell everybody two things. Number one, he said, we came to church because we were loved there. He's blessed old Baptist Church, listen to me. We came to church because we were loved there. He said, number one reason, above anything and everything else, number one reason, we came to church because we were loved there. Say, preacher, what do you got to offer these kids on the bus to get them to come on the bus? Now, we're going to have promotion. We're going to have special days. We're going to have a fall program. But let me tell you what keeps kids coming long after that stuff's worn off. They're going to come somewhere where they're loved. And he said, number two, he said, you and those bus captains that worked under you, he said, you guys were nuts. You were crazy. He said, you would have so much fun. There's nothing on TV that was better than coming and watching what you guys were going to. There was nothing in the world. He said, and we sat there and saw every week that people could have the time of their, and we did. I couldn't even begin. If I told you some of the stuff we did, well, I can't for number one, because then you'll want to do it on your bus route, and there's no way I'm letting you do that. But I mean, every week we had, you know, all of these Bible college age guys get their heads together and just basically, what could we do to get on that bus and just show, watch this, and show these kids the joy of the Lord. Brother, they're out there in that stinking world, and you know what comes with sin? Sin always produces sorrow. So they see sin and sorrow and sin and sorrow and sin and sorrow. And then they try every once in a while to have a happening, to find a minute of happiness. But guess what comes right after? Sin and sorrow and sin and sorrow. Then they show up to church and you know what they see? A bunch of people with the joy of the Lord and having a good time. And he said, the schedule you guys ran, and he told me this, tears run down his face. He said, I've watched bus captains take the paycheck that they got paid on Friday night and sign the back of it and hand it to a bus kid to keep them in their Christian school that they were going to. And he said, I watched that sacrifice and I watched that joy that came with it. And he said, there was something inside of us that said, you know what? We want that. We see what the world has. We want that. And he told me, he said, I wish I had 2 hours. He said, I wish I had half a day to tell you how much happiness, how much goodness, how much blessing has come into my wife's life and my life since we've been serving the Lord. And I said, there's been heartache too. And watch this. Watch. I want you to get this. There's been heartache too. He said, yeah. I said, how many children do you have? And he said, well, we had, he's almost 50, we had 3. He said, I buried my little girl. And she was just 3 years old. I think it was 3 years old I buried my little girl. But wait a minute. He didn't quit. You hear me? He didn't quit. He didn't quit. Kept going. You know what? He went through a Job time. Didn't quit. Kept going. So what am I? And he sat there. And by the way, when I left, I won't read it to you. I thought about reading it to you, and I read it and thought there's just too many. Before he left, he walked over and he handed me a handwritten note. And he told me when he handed it, you have to know Poncho. He's like, I'm no good with words. I'm no good with words. He said, all guys are like this. He hands it to me, and he's like, now don't open it. Don't read it till you go home. Now, every guy in here understands that, you know. It's like, if we're going to be, you know, tender with somebody and loving with somebody, we don't want to do it where they can see it, or we don't want to have to see, you know. So he said, read it when you get home. And I'll cherish this. You know why? Watch this. Because one of those kids that rode the bus got it. Hey, did you come in on a bus today? All right, praise the Lord. Let me ask you something. Look around you. In this old world, there's a lot of sin. And by the way, if you look, there's a lot of sorrow with it. Now, you can go the way of the world and you can live a sinful life, and let me tell you what, you're going to have a lot of sorrow. And the devil makes it look so good. But isn't it John R. Rice that said, all the devil's apples have worms in them? Come on now. And he tries to make it look so good. And all there is sorrow after the fact. Listen, why don't you decide? You know what, preacher? 25 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, I'm going to be somewhere in a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church serving God. There's joy in that. Hey, listen, what am I saying? I'm saying this. Hey, bring your joy to the public worship service. Hey, bring your joy with you. Sunday school teachers, bring joy with you to your class. Bus workers, let me ask you, what was the spirit on your bus this morning? Okay, if you're not excited to be there, not excited, if you're feeling sorry for yourself, if you're having a pity party, if you're whining and griping and complaining, why would they want to come back? Hey, choir members, we're going to start choir again this month. Hey, bring your joy to the platform with you. Hey, pianists, bring your joy with you, all right? Watch this. God's given you a gift. Don't lose the joy of it. Okay, no more murmuring, no more complaining, no more whining in our entire music department. Stop. You're killing the music. Because your spirit's not right about it. Come on, special music people. Get up here and sing with joy. Hey, ushers, you're the first people they're going to meet when they walk in the door. Please tell me you brought your joy. Children's workers that are out there, nursery workers, when a husband and a wife, brand new visitors, bring a baby back there, do they meet some ladies at that little window door back there that have the joy of the Lord or a judgmental spirit? Because you have been called by God to inspect every couple that comes and to spend your time in the nursery determining who's a good parent and who's not a good parent. You know what, folks? Get out of the nursery if you're going to have that attitude. Nobody else leaving the auditorium. Nobody else leaving the auditorium. I'm almost done. What I'm saying is this, folks, good night.
Blessed Old Baptist Church ought to be a happy place. It ought to be an exciting place. I didn't walk in here looking for joy. I brought a truckload with me. I didn't walk in here with a frown on my face. I walked in here with a smile on my face. I didn't walk here on the loser side. I walked here on the victory side. And it's probably because I don't have any problems. That's probably what it is. Probably because I don't ache and hurt. I haven't recovered from last weekend yet. There's a part of my body that hurts so bad. I mean, I've never had it hurt like that. I'm not going to tell you what part. But it hurts more when I sit down on it, amen? I hurt. Hurt standing up, hurt sitting down. Amen. I'm losing my joy right now, amen. Alvin Martinez, there he is right there. I like this guy. I tell you to get his CDs because he's one of my favorite singers, but honestly, he needs to not produce CDs. He needs to produce DVDs. Because you've seen him sing. The most fun of watching him sing is not the amazing. By the way, he's got an amazing voice. It's watching him sing. I want to bring him here and have him sing 5 or 6 songs. Just bring all of our special music people and say, see that? That's called the joy of the Lord. Well, I just don't have that personality. It has nothing to do with personality. It has to do with the presence of the Lord and sacrificing to the Lord and getting a truckload of joy and coming to church with it and dumping it on everybody. Hey, what are you dumping on everybody? Well, I'm trying to stay positive, but I get so sick and tired, and you're not doing it, so I'm going to look at you. I get so sick and tired of murmuring and complaining and whining and nitpicking and sitting around on the phone trying to figure out everything that ought to be done different. And bringing that spirit into this place. You see something that you think is lacking, maybe God's let you see it so you could go do it. Real good at telling everybody else what they need to do and what they ought to be doing different, and you're not doing squat. Come on now. You get that murmuring complaint. Listen, this guy right here, I like it. I like that. I mean, I loved just watching him sing. I went out and preached 4 years ago, I don't know. Went out and preached to Tim Treber called me and said, I want you to preach to our teens in camp out here in California. So Alvin Martinez picks me up at the airport. And I was so glad. I was just trying to get him to sing all the way to the camp. We had about 1.5-hour drive from the airport to the camp. So I got to hear his whole life story. I'm like, Brother Martinez, I am so glad you picked me up. I got 1.5-hour to figure out what makes you tick. Raised in the Philippines. Came over as a young man, an immigrant, by the way, legally, which I'm fine with. Every generation, we ought to have legal immigrants that are welcomed by the United States of America. Not a problem. They should go through the process of citizenship, which means they take pledges and make promises and acclimate into our culture. Come on. Came legally. He said, I got saved. And he said, I not only got saved, but he said, man, I got excited. And he said, I wanted to go to Bible college. And here I couldn't hardly speak much English at the time, and I'm starting to learn, but I learned enough so I was able to go to Bible college. He said, Brother Treber found out about my situation, so he said, I'm going to give you a job cleaning the churches here so you can go to Bible college your first year. So here comes this 18-year-old Filipino kid in, and he's got this incredible voice, but nobody knows him because he won't sing. You know, he's intimidated by everything. But at night when he's buffing the floors, and at night when he's cleaning the bathrooms, and at night when nobody else is in the building, he is singing and going crazy. And he told me this. He said, I was in there cleaning the bathrooms and just singing. He said, I was just, you know, just having a time. Now, listen, you think singing in the shower is amazing? You go to one of these tiled bathrooms and sing, amen. I mean, the acoustics are amazing in there. Anyway, I got to stop. Let's just go back away from that, all right? But he said, Brother Treber came in here one night late. He said, I didn't know it. He said, for 2 hours, he snuck around stalking me. He said, I'd be singing in the bathroom, and he's outside the door going like this. He said, I start buffing the floors, and he's hiding around the corner. And he said, he listened to me for 2 hours. He said, The next day I got this note, says go to Brother Treiber's office. And he said, I came to his office and he said, I'm scared to death. I'm not cleaning right. I didn't do something right. He said, Brother Jerry, I tried to do everything so that the church would be perfect. It's God's house. It had to be perfect. He said, I walked in there thinking I'm in trouble. And he looked at me and said, I was at the church last night. Yes, sir. He said, I heard you sing. Is that allowed? He said, yes, it's allowed. And he said, listen to me. I want you to sing at our church. I'm going to start taking you to somebody that will work with you, and I'm going to get them to help you pick some songs out, but I want you to sing at this church. And he said, I walked out of there scared out of my mind. He said, I've never sung anywhere except out in the woods or in a bathroom. I mean, I don't sing anywhere else. He got up there and sang, and the joy of the Lord came through in those songs. And next thing you know, he graduates, and Brother Treiber hires him. He has now the largest adult class in Brother Treiber's church. And let me tell you again why they come. Because that smile you see right there, that's not some cheesy fake thing for the camera. It's the real deal. Now, let me ask you this, and we're done. If God were to sneak up on you while you're serving him in whatever capacity you serve here, bless him, he sneaked up on you in the nursery. He sneaked up on you, girls and guys that are cleaning the church. He snuck up on you while you're out here shoveling snow or spray washing a house or painting a bus. He snuck up on you when you're doing the worst, dirtiest job to be done for God. Would he hear singing? Would he see smiling? Because let me tell you what's going to happen. God always finds those people and says, come over here. I've got another opportunity for you. Hey, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I'm done. I've preached some to sinners and some to saints this morning. Let me say this. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we are going to grow in proportion to our spirit. And your preacher sent me here to this pulpit this morning to tell Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need an examination all the way from children to senior saints of this matter of the joy of the Lord. Say, preacher, did David always have his joy? Nope. Did he never lose it? Nope, he lost it. Circumstances didn't steal it. Circumstances will never steal your joy. What stole his joy? When circumstance, it was sin. Come on, I don't have time here. Bathsheba, Uriah, secret sins, hiding it. I got away with it. But you know what? Here's the thing. You live a life of secret sin. You do things you know you're not supposed to do, and you know what? You cover up and hide it. But the problem is you lose something. And the only place you can get it back, watch this, is Psalms 51. Well, it's this person's fault. No, it's not. Well, you don't understand the circumstances. Amen. It's a Greek word. Yeah, but if you went through what I did, oh yeah, you got an excuse. No, you don't. No, you don't. Sin will steal your joy. Circumstances does not steal joy. Sin steals joy. When's the last time you confessed a sin before God? Come on. This is good for preachers, pulpit, pew, deacons, Sunday school teachers. When's the last time you confessed any sin before God? The Bible says if we confess our sin, notice that big word, if. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And by the way, with cleansing comes joy. Now let me ask you an honest question. Come on. I'm talking about you seasoned, mossy-back Baptist, been here forever. When's the last time that you bowed your head? If you can kneel, kneel. If you can't kneel, you bowed your head. And you sincerely said, God, this is wrong in my life, and this has been wrong in my life, and I did this, and I said this, and it was a sin against you, and God, please forgive me. Because see, folks, watch this. You know what steals the joy of the average Christian? It's not a Bathsheba experience. It's the daily crud of sin that accumulates in our lives that we never get clean. And every Christian, I don't care who you are, every Christian from time to time needs to get to an old-fashioned altar and just clean out some junk. Because what soured your spirit isn't the circumstances of life, and what soured your spirit isn't other people. What soured your spirit is your sin. And the joy of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, there is joy forevermore. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Preacher's preached it straight, he's preached it right. I'm 100% right on this, because I'm 100% standing on the Bible on this. What's spilled up? What do you keep doing that you keep defending? What have you said that you owe somebody an apology for? Come on, what TV shows are being allowed? What music has crept into your life? What principles of dress have you turned your back on? What murmuring have you got involved with? What complaining have you got involved with? Are you listening to me? Where is your joy? Where is your joy? Heavenly Father, please, Lord, help us, dear God, to find that place where we can get our joy replenished to overflowing, to fullness in our lives. Help us, Lord, I pray, dear God, please help us, Lord, to be the kind of people that we ought to be, to do the kind of things that we ought to do, so that we can live in fullness of joy. May we have learned through the help of your Spirit, if we've lost our joy, how to go find that joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name.